Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a topic today that I think just about everybody can identify with. What is it? Verbal abuse. Patricia Evans is my guest, and we're going to be discussing how you can overcome this, and if you have harsh memories that keep digging into your psyche, there are ways that you can release them. And her book, Victory Over Verbal Abuse, really is all about empowering the individual to take back their lives. Hi, Patricia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. I'm really glad to be here and to be able to bring more insight to all your listeners. We really have a problem in the world today with people defining people. You know, it's very prevalent, it's endemic, it's controlling, it's crazy-making. And people who endure it all say, especially all the ones who has ever been hit, will say it's worse than physical abuse.
Well, I think what happens, especially when we're young, and it can happen when you're an adult too, don't get me wrong, but when we're very, very young, and we have people that make remarks. I know it's happened in my life. I really don't know anybody that hasn't been subjected to it in one form or another. Bullying is one aspect of many demonstrations of this. But there are so many things that we go through in life, and we will accept these words. We will accept labels that other people have put on us. Now, you are a woman that has written four other books. One on abusive relationships and verbal abuse survivors, how to speak out. You've had some other things that you've done. Now, with this, because of what you have written in the past about the verbal abuse, why did you feel you wanted to put this book out? Why was it important for you to take it another step?
Well, because people could recognize it. People could leave a difficult relationship get into therapy and stuff, but they still had internalized some of this negative messages and not even realized it. A person may just feel like, well, you know, I could never run a company or I could never do this or that, and yet that's just because of the way they were raised. They may have all the gifts in the world and still not feel quite adequate, because verbal abuse defines you. You may never hear name-calling. You may hear you're too sensitive, you're trying to start a fight, you think you know it all, you want to win, you're jumping to conclusions. So every thought you have can be objected to. What you're defined as if this person who did this lived within you and knew what you thought or what your motives were or what your intentions were or how you felt. And it's so bizarre that people do that. There are people who don't do that, and there are people who rarely, if ever, heard anything like this, and then there are people who check off, say, 250 abusive sentences they've heard from the back of one of my books. So it's a huge problem, and it can be internalized if it's, you know, just if you really look up to someone. If you see them as the authority, the teacher, the educator, the doctor, or just the spouse who's really in charge and could fix anything or do anything, if you look up to the other person and they say, gee, you're getting a little fat, you know, and then, well, you know, why didn't you do that? I think you're kind of lazy. And they go on defining you eventually, and they probably do it in a more subtle way than I'm doing it, but as they do, you begin to feel not okay. And if you look up to the person, you're going to maybe take that in instead of saying, you know, that's nonsense. What you're saying to me is pure nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's silly talk, and it's senseless. So in this book, I describe it as JPS, just plain senseless behavior. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So people are saying, oh, I just had some JPS lodged at me or something, just plain senseless. Because if you think about it, nobody knows these things, but to heal from this and to reclaim yourself, there are quite a few kinds of things you can do. Of course, there's various therapies. Also, I have described, described these therapies. There's also affirmations, one for each week of the year, so there are 52. And so this process of defining yourself and your inner world also includes all that, and reversing the thoughts you hear in your own mind, like, oh, I messed up again. You know, I just, I've got to do this again is better than I messed up again. Or anything you hear, I should be over this by now. That's a big one. And that's not okay. You don't say that to yourself. You don't tell yourself, I should do this, I should be here, I should be better, I should be... instead, you say, it's okay. Of course I feel really sad right now. Of course I feel really sad. I put a lot of time and energy into this, and it didn't work. And I'm recovering from all of this. I'm healing. So of course I feel sad. I can take care of myself. I can do just fine. So you talk to yourself in a very, very positive way. You know, there's a process in this book that shows a way to symbolize your emotional self and have a little conversation with your emotional self, and you're basically saying, this is why you feel this way. It's okay. I'll take care of you.
Well, and you bring out some interesting points in your book, and one of which reminded me of an old movie that was put out years ago with Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer, and it was called Gaslight.
I was going to say, it's a Gaslight. It's so famous because, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, but what I was going to say is that movie, if any of you who are listening ever have a chance to watch it, it's very, very subtle. This is a man who's very suave, very, very debonair, but he's deliberately sabotaging through words, not through actions, but through words, a woman that he, one, wants to control, and two, is effectively destroying psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So to me, that is there's a very subtle message there. But one of the points that you bring out is a story about Mickey Rooney. Now, Mickey Rooney is an elderly man now. I assume he's in his 80s. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about how he was under an aspect of verbal abuse where people really wanted to disempower him. Now, as a counselor, I have seen that happen with many people. I've had many clients that have gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone has had a personal experience and has stood up to that kind of stuff, what it means is that you have to really wake up. You have to pay attention to what is being said to you, and you do have to say, wait a minute, this isn't really me, but there is that constant repetition by someone who has that patterning. I've seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And you really do have to wake up to it, and that's one of the things that some people expressed to you, that they felt like they were getting their mind back.
Yeah.
And that is a very important positioning for someone to feel like they have, and everybody has the right to control their own mind.
Absolutely.
So you really do have to pay attention to this.
Yeah, it can be a process that takes over time, just kind of takes away your sense of self. And when you lose that, you know, then you're even more controlled. So gaining back, it's like a brainwashing, really. And, you know, there's something interesting I discovered in talking with a lot of the people who called me for consultations, and that is they could discover their greatest gift by looking at what was most negatively attacked, you know, by their abuser. In other words, if a person had real artistic talent, they might be told that your paintings are worthless, I don't want to see them around here, you know. Or if a woman who was extremely eloquent, her words were just beautiful, how she talked and how she put analogies and metaphors in, and it was beautiful, just beautiful. And she was told, what she heard most was, you can't put two words together. You don't make sense. You can't communicate. And so it was her greatest gift. And that gave me the clue to look at all these situations and see that people, somebody who's very enthusiastic and very, very highly intelligent, too. This woman was always attacked if she was just happy about something or looking forward. I'm really looking forward to that party. You know, then she would be assaulted. So it's, if you want a broad stroke to look at all these abusers, when you show a sign of your personhood and your separateness, then they can be abusive. In the sense of elder care, if they can erase your sense of self and judgment and freedom to make your own decisions, they're probably trying to control your money as well as you. But in many cases, I think I've heard from 30 or 40,000 people. And the vast majority are women who are experiencing this, but men can too, and they can feel like they're going crazy. They don't really get what's happening. So if you notice that someone defines you, if they tell you as if they lived within you, your motive, you're trying to start a fight, you want to win, then you know you're hearing baby talk. Baby talk, it's just silly, it's senseless. Nobody knows your motive. Only you and God know your motive. That's it. There is nobody who's walked the planet who knows your motive. All people can do is say, you know, what's bothering you? Or why did you bring that up? I'm sorry, there's a little background noise. I'm moving away from it. Not too far.
Well, it sounds like your phones are going off the wall.
Yeah, it's just this one that rarely rings, but I can block it out really fast.
Well, something that you bring out in your book that I think is a very good statement says you should never tell a confirmed abuser how you feel. It doesn't work.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, and you need to say something like nonsense. I have a woman that made a comment when she was in situations that were very agitating, especially if she was in a working environment. And she was very mature, and someone got so critical and just really, really talking her down. And she would diffuse their energy by saying, you might be right, and you are entitled to your opinion. However, this is what I see. And she wouldn't back down.
Mm-hmm.
And what she found is that the other party just all of a sudden got diffused, or they would clam up, or they would demonstrate a part of personality that everybody else would be sitting around the meeting table and going, okay, I think we've got a situation here. So
yeah,
your comment is a good one.
But this will work in many environments, especially if there's witnesses. If you're alone with an abuser, it may or may not work because the abuser may go into a rage and accelerate that you're even speaking up, you know. But it's definitely worth a try. It's definitely worth a try. You know, that's your opinion, and I respect that, but I have a different view, and that's that. But see, most abuse occurs because you move, walk, talk, think, express an idea that doesn't match the abuser's mind. That's where most abuse occurs in relationships. And when you don't match the abuser's mind, because the abuser unconsciously has projected a whole lot of himself into you. So if you don't match it, then the abuser can be angry and irritated. And when someone's angry at you and accusatory, most people will feel as though maybe I said something wrong, maybe I had the wrong tone of voice, maybe it was something about what I did or said, and so they look within to see why this person would be angry with them. And also it's important to know that there's some general patterns that show up. Usually the abuser does not do this in public. Usually the abuser might even speak very well of his partner or her partner in public. And so usually it occurs when no one's around, and it can be followed with, you know, a little bit later. The abuser will usually act like nothing happened, like there's nothing wrong, and the abuser will generally just go on like, well, what's the matter, you know, or something if they even ask. They will usually blame you for everything. There's usually no sense of reconciliation, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say you were getting fat. I'm just cranky today. You actually look pretty good. You know, I'm sorry. There's no I'm sorry's. Or if occasionally there is, it happens immediately. It happens again, you know, very quickly. So there's no two sides to abuse. It's not a 50-50 thing. I could give you a little story that's very illustrative, let's say. I don't know how to say the word. It illustrates the problem very clearly, and it is at the extreme, we could say. But it does illustrate the problem. And this is the situation where a man called me up. I don't know his name. I don't even know what country he was calling from. And he said, wow, I just read one of your books, and now I know why I threw my wife to the ground. And I said, really, what happened? And he said, well, I got home from work early, and I love to cook. So I was cooking up a storm. I had all the burners going. And then a little later, my wife came in, and she said hi, and I said hi. And then she looked down at the mail, and I went in a rage and threw it to the floor. And now I know why. My lost self, my projected self, whatever he called it, was going to walk over and say, can I help you with the cooking? So in that moment, half of him was gone. And that was the rage he felt, as though he were being killed. It's like when OJ heard Nicole say, no, you can't join me and my family for dinner after the recital. I mean, you know, he must have been talking to his projection because, of course, she was very frightened of him. She'd been beaten up by him. She was divorced from him. She had no relationship with him. And he walked up and said that out of the blue. And it was put in the record because somebody overheard it. And I think he could hear it because sometimes abusers can hear what their partner says through the ears, you might say, of someone standing by. Oh, what did so-and-so hear her say? It's like their mind's working that way. And otherwise, they rarely hear their partner. They don't pay too much attention to her or any attention. And they react in a negative way if she really, really wants, like, oh, there's an article. I really, really want you to read it. Then it just won't happen. And it's because he doesn't want to act like she's real. So getting an understanding for this victory over verbal abuse, really getting an understanding of what is wrong with these people, psychologically speaking, who are in this constant kind of adversarial, abusive way and, you know, attitude and approach to their partners. At the same time, they may say, I love you. Nobody can love you as much as I do. Very, very confusing.
One of the things that I find that is really important for me as a counselor when I'm working with people is to deal with cultural diversity and environmental diversity. And the reason I say this is that in certain cultural environments, I have noted through the years various patternings, and people will say, well, this is just the way it is. You put up with it. It's no big deal. My mother went through it. My grandmother went through it. Hey, we just let it roll off like water off a duck's back. The problem is the individual psychologically has literally become a prisoner of something that they have been indoctrinated they should be accepting. And I have seen this presence of attitude on the part of many, many women. And when they start waking up, they may even go back to members of their family and say, why did you do this when granddad did so-and-so or Uncle Harry did so-and-so? Well, that's just the way it was. What do you mean that was the way it was? And he says, well, you're not supposed to do that. This isn't the way you are. This is the way you're supposed to be. No, it's not acceptable. It really takes courage for an individual to stand up and to say, I am worthy. I have something significant. I am worthy, and no one has the right to demean me. I am not a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a doormat. That is so important. And I like your comment in your book. You said to keep a shelters where they say, hit me once, shame on you. Hit me twice, shame on me. This goes for derogatory verbal statements.
Right, for sure. You're so right. And you know that if somebody went on a date with someone and they you were at an event, it was going to go on for hours, and they said, we're leaving now. They've already merged into you, dissolved your separateness, and told you what you're about to do. So you would never go out with that person again. That's a red flag. So knowing the red flags is important. Having a name for it as a verbally abusive relationship. Getting that name meant so much to thousands of women to say, now I know what was happening. That was just not, it wasn't okay. It was abuse. But the other problem that that women also can experience, and probably some men, but that they're told how lucky they are, that there's you've got this wonderful husband or boyfriend, and he's so nice, and he's so kind to everyone, because they can have two sides to them, the one that's at home alone with their partner and the one that's out in the world, and that can be extreme. The difference can be extreme. I talked to a woman in another country yesterday, and it was just amazing. He was really, really highly thought of, a public figure in her community, and the whole thing, and so highly thought of. And at home, he was so terrifying. It was actually frightening. It was actually frightening how it wasn't just, you know, kind of middle-of-the-road abuse. It was just scary. I thought he might have a split personality. And,
he probably does. He probably does.
Yeah, I said at least he's disassociated. Yeah, because he seems to be very vague or not remember what he just did. And I think that's very frightening because you don't know what this other personality is going to do. But if they're really raging a lot and just crazy stuff. Yeah, then it's really dangerous,
It is dangerous. And I think there's another side, too. A lot of people, men and women both, do not take the time to really listen to programming like we're talking about today or get involved in reading material, going to the library, reading about books on self-esteem or putting yourself in environments that allow you to see that you can make a difference. I have found that there are so many women, there are men, but the women especially, and this is even in the United States for all of our opportunities for education, if they do not read, if they live in a very tiny capsule of environment, they are never going to be able to get out of it. If they don't read about women that have overcome obstacles, I mean, there are some phenomenal women that from different parts of the world, you know, just different environments, and they've overcome it. Those are the things we need to keep in mind. We are not doormats. We are not.
If they're not reading, you're so right. If they're not reading and they're further isolated by just the fact that many abusers do bring about a kind of isolation. They'll complain about their partner's friends and family and so forth. They'll move to some distant place. They'll move to a remote part of the village, you know, or outskirts. And the target of this abuse ends up rather isolated. And if they aren't reading and reading and reading and searching, and studying and also learning and reading biographies of these really strong women you mentioned, they don't really realize that there is a world of healthy, equal people, but they're not in it. They're far removed from it.
And that is something that I know from my own personal experience and from experiences through the many thousands and thousands of people through the years, both through the radio, television shows, and through personal counseling that I've had, The greatest advantage anyone has is the capacity to think. And if you read and you're willing to listen to interviews like this and you listen and you say to yourself, these are people that are talking about circumstances I have a choice about dealing with. I don't have to stay stuck where I am. Right there, you have taken a giant step towards accomplishing something. And Patricia Evans' book, Victory Over Verbal Abuse, is a wonderful book to be able to read. And if you know someone who is going through a situation where they have, could be one of their kids, it could be a relative, it could be a background that they've been involved with where their self-esteem is in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And it all has to do with where do we want to see ourselves and what are we going to do to get there. And
exactly.
It doesn't mean that we have to become as demeaning to others as has been done to us. And that's another patterning a lot of people adopt. If they do not have good self-esteem and they have come from a bad environment, then they will do that. But Patricia goes a long way in her book of defining so many things that you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thank you, Donna.
You've got a lot of good information in here. Your affirmations are wonderful.
Thank you.
I like week 38, for example. You say, I choose to do what is best and right for my highest self, no matter how negatively I have been defined. And I think anything we can do to empower ourselves, because we're always going to have bad hair days, but it's the same with men.
Yeah.
The same with men. They approach it differently, but it's whether you're male or female, it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take this trashy garbage off of anyone, but you do have to empower yourself, and you have to take control of it. I know we're just about out of time, Patricia.
Well, what thought would
you like my listeners to be left with? Which, by the way, her website is verbalabuse.com. You can go there. Excuse me. What would you like to leave my audience with in the way of a thought, Patricia?
Well, let's see. I would say you might look at yourself, whatever your belief systems, as a child of God, and that you are the baby God gave to you. You are a child of God, and you are that being that God wants you to take care of. So you are taking care of God's baby when you take care of yourself. And you do that with education and effort and one step at a time.
I agree with that. Her website, again, is verbalabuse.com. This is Patricia Evans. We've been talking about victory over verbal abuse. I have yet to meet anyone that hasn't had this in one form or another. The victors over this are those that are willing to recognize their own worth and realize they don't have to buy into this. And I think, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but you don't have to adopt it. That is not necessary. And Patricia goes into a great deal of detail in Victory Over Verbal Abuse, her healing guide to renewing you, your spirit, so that you can reclaim your life. Patricia, I want to thank you very much for being my guest. And again, check out our website, verbalabuse.com. It's something we need to take control of and realize we're the boss of our life.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Donna. Real pleasure. I enjoyed talking with you.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, there's more good things to share. Check out again verbalabuse.com and share it with a friend. If you know of someone, I don't care what their age is, if you know of someone that is going through this kind of a challenge, this might make a wonderful New Year gift for them. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. My goodness, there's just so much going on. Do you feel sort of a sense of energy about, wow, we're in a dynamic year? I believe we are. I'm telling you, I have been talking with so many people that are so excited about what they see coming for this year, 2012. So we're going to have some wonderful guests talking about that in future shows, which, by the way, if you want to know what's coming on the Donna Sebo Show, check out the show information element on the Donna Sebo section of the BBS radio website, and you'll find out about the guests that are coming up. Now, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here's the telephone number to call in to. It is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a rogue aviator. Aha! Yes, Alan Morris is going to be my guest, and his stories relating to being a pilot are really something else. This man has a tremendous background, so it's going to be a fun listen. And then, Big Fat Lies That Women Tell Themselves, that's going to be on Wednesday. Amy Amelers is going to be my guest, and I think it is really a cool book. And then Exposed, Uncovered, Declassified, Lost Civilizations, and Secrets of the Past. We'll be talking with Micah Hanks. And then Naked in the Nursing Home, Harold Lustig is my guest. So we have got a very eclectic grouping of guests, as we always do on the Donna Sebo Show. And all of the material, believe it or not, I read before I even book the people as guests. So it makes for interesting, I think, listening, and it's informative, too, so be sure you tell your friends about the show. Anyway, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat today, 888-627-6008. And later on in the program, I'll be sharing with you some horoscope information for the year 2012. But I wanted to share something with you that I tried over this weekend. I don't know about you, but after the holidays, you know how you go in and you're eating all kinds of goodies? My gracious. Men and women are such good cooks, and they fix all of these delicious, delectable desserts and goodies. And for, you know, the holiday season, we have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you go jump, jump, and all of a sudden you find your waistband on your slacks are getting too tight, and you look at your fanny, and you go, uh-oh, I think that's grown a little. So you want to get back into what you call your healthy patterning. Well, I kept hearing different comments about kale chips. That's right, kale chips. Well, kale is a winter vegetable, and I absolutely love it, and I've always fixed it, you know, with sweet potatoes and onions, and put it, you know, you can just take it and put it in a crock pot, throw it in whatever vegetables and seasonings you want, and your favorite meat, and by golly, you've got an awesomely healthy dish, with or without the meat. And I thought, what are these kale chips? So I went and I looked it up on the web. And it's a real simple recipe, and I thought I would share it with you because I love it. If you like crunchy things and you get this urge for that crunch and you want to not eat a whole bunch of calories, this is a marvelous recipe. Very simple. You can buy a bunch of kale, and I bought 3 bunches. And then you wash your kale. You want to make sure the kale is dry. And then you tear the kale into pieces. And what you want to do is remove the hard stem on the kale. So you just tear it into pieces. Make sure, again, it's very dry. I took my batches of kale that I'd done this to, and I put them in a big bowl. Then you take a small amount of olive oil and some salt. You don't need a whole bunch of salt, and you don't need a whole bunch of olive oil. So I'd say about a teaspoon of olive oil per bunch of kale. And then you just toss it with your hands until everything is well covered. Just takes you maybe a couple of minutes. Do it in a big bowl because the kale is raw, and it's going to just pile up in the bowl. So then you take a baking pan. You line the baking pan with parchment paper. You don't need to spray the pan. Just put the parchment paper in there. Then you take your kale, and you put it into the baking pan and sort of even it out. Now, if you just use one batch, this is you're going to get a different result than if you use 3, like I did, because mine was really piled high. Your oven has to be preheated to 350 degrees. And what you do is you put your kale into that 350-degree oven, and you bake it for 15 minutes. Now, I had so much kale in my baking pan, it took about a half hour of baking because I had 3 batches. But if you just had 1 batch, in that 15 minutes, and you got to watch it because you don't want the kale to burn, you're going to find that it's going to be so dry, it will be totally dehydrated and crisp. Now, you might be able to do the same thing in a dehydrator if you have one in your kitchen. I don't have a dehydrator. I took the kale out, and it was so crispy. All I had to do was touch it. And because I had so much on the pan, it didn't dehydrate as rapidly, so I had to put it in. And then I went and I left the pieces that were still pretty moist, were not dry and crispy. I left them, just turned the oven heat off and just left it in and went in and tossed it every once in a while, just left it in the warm oven. I'm telling you, that was wonderful. And you just put it in and the chips just melt in your mouth. And I have heard that kids love this. And it's a great substitute for a potato chip. The little bit of olive oil is hardly any calories. And a little bit of salt. And if you wanted to try different seasonings with it, just use a little bit because it goes a long way. But man, oh man, is that good. I loved it. So try it yourself. Use 1 batch. And I used what they call a half cookie sheet, you know, a baking, professional baking sheet. But just go ahead and put it on that parchment paper, and the parchment paper absorbs any oil that may be excessively, you know, excess on the kale. It's wonderful. What a healthy snack. And it takes care of those munchies when you want something to crunch. Oh, is it good? Wonderful. I wanted to share that with you because I tried that this weekend. We have a poem here by Linda Hutchinson, and I love the illustration that goes with this little poem. There's this magnificent snowman. All the trees in the background are covered with snow. And there's this brilliantly rich blue sky that you can see through the bare trees that are snow-covered. And someone dressed up the snowman. He has a red scarf around his neck, top hat, carrot nose, and the button eyes. And they put vanilla wafers for the buttons down the snowman's front. And this was the poem. It said, "Trees draped in the soft glow of winter sparkle like diamonds as a snowman dressed in a top hat stands guard." Delightful, delightful poem. Fortunately, we don't have storms hitting us here in the Pacific Northwest, for which I'm very grateful, because we've had a couple of buffeting experiences, but I know so many of you are having the snowy, cold weather, and just make sure you take care of yourself. And one of the things that I want to share, because I don't know about you, but I am affected, as I'm getting older, with what I call the dark syndrome. It's called SAD in the Pacific Northwest, and that is all. It's a hormonal situation. When you have the shorter days and a lot of gray like we have here, and then you have the long hours of darkness, it really can affect you. So I use full-spectrum lighting,
And it's also very important that you remember to take your nutritional supplementation, and if you're living in the far north, make sure you're taking adequate vitamin D. It really does make a difference. So those are just some things that I wanted to share with you today. Also, something else, and this is relating to the interview that I did earlier with Patricia Evans. We were talking about verbal abuse, and so many times, depending on the environment that you grow up in, you adapt to a certain survival patterning. And depending on your social environment, you adapt to certain things. And I wanted to share with you a very personal story about an experience that I had when I was in my 20s. And it really, really woke me up. And I hadn't realized that I had certain patternings when I interacted with people. And there was this fellow I was dating. His name was Tom. Tom was a big guy. He could have been a football fullback. This guy really, really was big. And we were dating at the time, and he happened to come over to see me one Saturday afternoon, and I was busy doing some laundry and hanging things up. So it was a beautiful day, and it's during the summer, and he came over, and I said, hey, come on in, and we were visiting, and he pulled a chair out of the kitchen and was watching me because I was folding clothes in the living room, and I was living in an apartment at the time. So he was watching me, and he said to me very quietly, Donna, you have to be the prettiest doormat I've ever known. Well, my arm stopped in midair. I had a piece of clothing, and I didn't know whether to really get angry. I was just stunned. That was a statement that I'd never, ever heard before. And he proceeded to say this. He said, you're always doing stuff for other people, and you put yourself last. Now, if you want me to wipe my feet all over you, I'll be glad to do it, but I want you to remember something. Doormats wear out, and they can always be replaced. Needless to say, that led to quite an interesting conversation. Now, the reason I'm sharing it with you is because many times we're not aware of patternings that we have. And he was correct. I always put myself last. Always. Everybody else was far more important. And what he was trying to convey to me is that he really wanted me to see the patternings that I had. And he said, it's up to you. How is it that you want your life to be? And it's a very interesting story that I have shared with literally thousands of people through the years. And I think it's important that we understand that we have to have respect for ourselves. So all of us go through lessons of learning. And I, just like you, have had to grow through a lot of experiences. And we have to choose how we're going to use those experiences to leverage ourselves so that we are leveraged towards where we want to be and towards being the person we really are supposed to be and not allowing other people, as Patricia so adequately says in her book, to define us. But you know what? You have to be able to look at yourself with a sense of awareness. And lots of times we don't give ourselves that opportunity. So I thought, again, I would just share that personal experience with you so you could realize that everybody's going to have it at some time or another. But it's when you take charge of who you are and you define yourself that your life will start to have a meaning that is beyond what you would ever have dreamed. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And before we take a break, I want to remind those of you in Washington, two very significant events coming up where I'm going to be doing appearances. The first one is on the 21st of this month. Both of these events are on Saturdays. Saturday the 21st, I'm going to be appearing along with three other mediums doing readings for people at the Ascension into Light Foundation Center at 1222 South Weller Street in Seattle. Their phone number is 206
356-6356. It's an evening program. Starts between 6 and 6:30. It's $20 admission. Check it out. It's wonderful. It's in Seattle. On the 28th of January, we are going, I just sent an email, a blast out on this. We're going to have a class at the Bridgeport Place facility like we did in November. We are doing a Quantum Mind 2 class. You can go to my website, check it out, go to DelphiInternational.com. The fee for the class is $59.95, $65 if you arrive at the door. We are only able to take 25 students for this class. The first class was so successful. It's just wonderful, and I'm so excited about this class. We are going to have Robert Newman again, the doing feng shui. We're going to be talking about the money frog. We're also going to be doing blindfold demonstrations, and everyone in the class is going to demonstrate it. It is really super. I love teaching. It's just marvelous. So give me a call if you're interested, 253-582-5604. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'll light up your life for 2012. 888-627-6008. Okay, this is a projected horoscope for the signs of the zodiac. Why don't we start off with the sign of Cancer? No, I'm not going to do it in order. I'm going to do it the Donna way. I'm going to pick three signs, and if I have time, which I will right now, it's going to be Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. And then I'll cover three signs tomorrow, and et cetera. So what's in store for you in this year of 2012? Well, for those of you born under the sign of Cancer, you know what? If you're looking for romance, apparently the fires are going to be lit. That's right. You're going to have an opportunity for that. And this year is a year for embracing new social associations. Don't be an isolationist. Enjoy expanding your world. Now, what about money? Well, you know what? If you are really wanting to figure out how to make your financial future more optimistic, you need to start right where you are. So if you're born into the sign of Cancer, start working with plans. Don't let your emotions run you all over the planet. What you want to do is say, this is my objective. And maybe you've got a huge, huge objective. Maybe you want to have $500,000 cash in five different banks. That's fine with me. Go for it. But you're going to have to start somewhere. And you need to start planning. And you do it now. You need, because those under the sign of Cancer typically are very, very intuitive, and you need to learn how to trust your intuition. You need to learn how
to be at ease with the way your mind language works. You need to come to my class on January the 28th. And maybe you're not able to do it, but that's okay. I'd invite you anyway. I really think those of you under the sign of Cancer need to realize you don't have to be an emotional garbage can. It's not necessary. Trust yourself, and that takes practice. Now, what about those of you under the sign of Leo? Well, if you feel like your love life is suffering quite a bit, all you need to do is to make it okay that you are where you are, and you don't have any trouble attracting people. But you need to ask yourself what it is that you want to attract to yourself in your life. What kind of persons do you want to have? What character do you want in them? And be aware that that's what you look for. Things can come in pretty packages and look like a piece of junk after you get to know it for a while. It gets tarnished. You want to be sure that you have people with quality character, and then you're going to find what you really want in that association when it comes to money and success. Hey, it's very hard for you to hang on to your cash, so you need to be sure, those of you born under the sign of Leo, that you're very, very disciplined with your money. Because if you are, then you're going to come out ahead. Now, what about a dream? Maybe you're wanting a career. Maybe you want to become a forensic pathologist, or maybe you want to become involved in working with animals. Maybe you want to do whatever. Go and volunteer so that you can see an environment that maybe you're wanting to explore. Be a part of it. See, is this really what I want? Is this really something that feels good to me? And if you wanted to be a forensic pathologist and you go in and you assist for the police with the police department or a certain division and you say, I'm sorry, but I can't stand the sight of blood, you know that's not what you want to do because you'd be dissecting corpses all day. So you really need to be aware of what it is you really, really dream about. And don't be afraid to explore it, because that will give you the clarity you need so you can be objective. Yep, that's very important. For those of you under the sign of Virgo, you know what? Your confidence is good and solid. This is a year for you to really go forward with gusto. You're very methodical in most of the things you do anyway, so you want, and you're detail-oriented like crazy. You drive everybody nuts. So you need to be able to use that so it works for you, not against you. Don't be so caught up with detail that you don't look at a bigger picture. Now, when it comes to money, you have a year here that can be very lucrative for you, whether it's finding a new job, making good investments, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to find by fall of this year, if you're paying attention to the plan that you want to enact, you are going to be successful. And you need to realize that nothing is closed to you. If you want to travel to faraway places, if you want to reach certain objectives, you will be able to do it. Hard work, hey, you know that's the name of the game. Doesn't bother you. You handle it. But don't be afraid to be expansive about your projections. Don't be afraid to really reach for it, and sometimes even sharing dreams with people that may help you get there. So don't be afraid of that. So those are the three signs that I'm sharing with you today, and a little bit more. Cancer, family life is really going to be good. Leo, you're financial savvy. Man, if you follow what you know you need to do for yourself, you're going to be just super. And Virgos, economics, look healthy. Job prospects, building a business, go for it. Pay attention, but don't forget that bigger picture. This is Donna Sebo. I know that I am just about out of time here. I have a wonderful story that I'm not going to have enough time to share about a young woman who was able to fulfill her dream, so I'll be sharing that with you tomorrow. She is just quite a gal, and I think that you will really enjoy what she has to say. But I want you to remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're involved in living. You're involved in life. I want you to realize that you have something very special as an individual to bring to this experience of life in the way that only you can do it. And the reason there's so much diversity in life is that there is just a lot of opportunity of choice. And if we lock ourselves into little self-defining boxes without ever giving ourselves the opportunity to explore, how empty and how meager our experiences will be. You have got something so special to offer, and put yourself in the company of people that have something to share in the way of experiences. You don't want to be with down-in-the-mouthers. Oh, forget that nonsense. Anybody can look at life and tell about how lousy it is and so on and so forth. We can all gripe. Give yourself a 15-minute timer. If you're going to be meeting with friends, say, okay, you all got 15 minutes. This is it. Let's moan and groan and blah, everything about life. And then that's it. After that, let's move forward. It's okay to complain. You just don't stay stuck with it. This is Donna Siebel. See you here tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.